You're listening to a Dom and Jeremy podcast. Your boys in the morning on Mix 100.
I was at that point in a book that I was reading that I was so close to the end that I didn't want to, you know, close it in bed last night and save it for another day. I was like, God, I just got to power through and finish. I'm that close to the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed up kind of late last night and I finished reading this book. And I want you to know it's considered an all-time classic. It came out in the 1960s. It's a classic, and it's true crime. I mean, it's maybe the original true crime book. I'd have to go and look, but it's called In Cold Blood. They ended up making a couple of different movies out of it. Truman Capote wrote it, blah, blah, blah. And it's about real life, two guys who murdered a family in Kansas in 1959, I want to say.
Why the heck did they do that?
Yeah, that's why you got to read the book. I mean, the whole psychological aspect of it all. Anyway, I'll just go, you know, spoiler alert. At the end of the book, they hang the two guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Kansas was like, to the gallows you go.
Man.
And there was something about that, because this has been during my lifetime, the hanging, because, you know, it took years through appeals and stuff like that. And I tell you what, man, I was uncomfortable lying in bed last night as they described the scene.
Oh, I bet.
You know, going up there and the noose going around the neck and this, and I was like, oh my God.
That'll stick with you before you guys slip off into slumberland, huh?
Exactly.
My God.
I kind of wish that I had waited and finished today, because I was uncomfortable all night thinking about that.
Oh, man.
The whole thing about executions, I used to have weird, weird dreams when I was a young adult, like in my 20s, let's say, where I was being strapped into an electric chair.
Man, what's that about?
I know. And it was so freaky.
That's what happens when you don't eat your vegetables at dinner. Kids.
Right. My God. But, you know, I just read about it. And then this morning, just out of curiosity, I was like, I remember somebody being executed by firing squad when I was like in my teens.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a horrific thing that, God, that sticks with you, huh?
And I was reading all this stuff and I was like, oh, I need to read something
Man.
Completely different now to kind of like cleanse my mental palate.
You need a happy book now.
No.
Man, oh, man.
I really do. So,
well,
anyway,
that's sorry,
that
didn't
kept
get any
me
sleep.
Awake last night, man. It was grim.
Yeah.
But it's real life. I mean, it's not a novel. It's real life. It's really happened.
Yeah.
And
I would imagine there's pictures and stuff. You can probably dig a little deeper, right? And
well, I saw photos of the two guys, the criminals,
yeah.
But not them.
The after effects.
Not them being hanged.
Just chilling
I did
there.
Not see that. I yeah.
Yeesh.
Oh God.
Man, oh man.
So that was my horrible night last night. Good morning, everybody.
Good times.
I know, but I will say this though: the book was incredible.
That's good.
I mean, incredible, because you know it all really happened and how they track these guys. And so it just, man, I just.
Interesting stuff, man. How many
it
pages?
Is. It's 343.
Okay.
You can handle that,
Jerry. It's getting up there.
No, but you wouldn't, because
my
it
limit.
Involves death and violence. You wouldn't like it.
Yeah, so. I'm totally reading a book about a comic and an actor right now, and it's very lighthearted.
Who's that?
Bob Odenkirk. It's the Better Call Saul guy. It's his biography. It's called Comedy.
That's fascinating.
Comedy, drama. And he references actually a lot of Monty Python, if you want to go way back in it, and like Dudley Moore, some of his comedic influences back in the day. And he suggests little bits that you should go watch. So I'm reading it on Kindle so I can just, you know, highlight the bit and copy it and paste it into YouTube. And
yeah.
I did that the other night. I was reading in bed and knickknacks there in bed, and the kids are in the room reading too, and I copy and paste this Dudley Moore bit into YouTube. It was Dudley Moore and Michael Caine, and I hit play, and within seconds, the first like five or six words is the C word, like the C word, the ultimate bad word. And I was like, and it was turned up loud, and I couldn't get it to shut off. And Nicole's like, what are you doing? The children are in here.
Little ears.
Little ears. So, yeah, that was kind of funny. I was like, man, yeah, some of those older bits are quite filthy, I guess. So, yeah. I'm digging. I'm starting to read more and more books, like on the Kindle. Because I'm really digging it, because if there's a word that pops up that you don't know, you can highlight it. It gives you right away how you can pronounce it, what it means. I've taken little snippets of quotes that I like, and you can save the quotes right away. And the whole, it's just pretty cool. It's just pretty cool that you can do that now.
Yeah, I still scratch my head and shake my head at people who get all butthurt over the platform that people use to ingest books, whether it's reading it print, reading a Kindle, you know, an ebook, listening to audiobooks, and there's some people who are such snobs about it all.
Well, if you listen to an audiobook, you haven't read it.
I was like, well, you listen to a podcast and you enjoy it.
Exactly. I'm consuming the information. And my argument back to them, because they're always like, if you don't use your eyes, I'm like, oh, so a blind person reading Braille, you're going to say they didn't read the book because they use their fingers?
Solid comeback. Invoke blind
people. I'm using
people.
My ears. They use their fingers. Are you going
to
be a real
what
ass
can you say
and say
that?
That they didn't read that book?
There's no reply to that that makes you sound like a good person.
Yeah, you just have to finally tuck your tail and say, all right, you may be right.
Yeah, you know, you're right, you're right. I don't like, there's two things. One, you can get easily distracted, like I was doing with all of a sudden I'm on YouTube videos with this book. And then I'm sure, you know, I'll see something else on the side that catches my eye, and then all of a sudden I'm on YouTube instead of reading. And then the other is I like having the physical book on a shelf, almost as some sort of lame trophy that I read
this book.
Yeah, it's a
collection.
It's a collection. It's you read this, and you know, it's a physical thing sitting right there to remind you that I did read that book.
Yeah.
And I guess it's easier too if people come over, you can look at that stack and recommend which ones they should read.
Yeah, I agree with
check
you.
Out. That's the only downsides, I think.
I agree. I wrote an article about this several years ago. It was about ebooks and digital music. And it was that very point. It's like we like having a library, and even with in the old days when people had an album collection, and then it became a CD collection, it was something you could glance up and see. But when it's a digital form, just buried within your phone, it takes away some of the personal connection in a way.
I still have my CD flip books. I've got my TV and stereo and stuff set up in our family room, and I still have my CD flip books tucked away in one of the little side cabinets. I've got like four or five like big ones, you know, with like six per page front and back.
And I still keep them in there and flip through them now and then. That's why I still have my library. I have books all over my house, even though I read a ton on Kindle these days, a ton.
Yeah.
And I do a ton of audiobooks. But I just like having the it's more of a personal connection.
It is, man.
I don't think one is superior to another in terms of ingesting the information, but it's just there's a personal thing about having your books or your music on display.
Yeah,
it's almost like art in a way. I mean, it is art. Music and books are art. So
of course they are.
It's artistic displays that we have.
One more thing, we can put this to bed. I don't know if you're like me. When you get a new book and you fire it up on your Kindle, do you take like the first 10 minutes and adjust the lighting, the font, the text size? Like, I feel like I can't get into a book for at least 15 minutes because I'm too busy playing with the options.
I just have a go-to, and so they
do
all
you?
Pop up.
Oh,
with
man.
That,
yeah. I fiddle with that every time for some reason. Every single time. I'm like, I gotta get into this, but oh, I could change the font size. How cool.
Part of my trying to deal with what was messing with my head last night with that whole book that I finished reading was having to get something else. So I downloaded an ebook from the library, which I also recommend to people.
Yep.
And that doesn't, this particular program wouldn't let me send it to my Kindle. I have to read it on my phone. And so I was going through what you're talking about. I was like, oh, God, I've got all my settings saved in my Kindle, but in my phone, now I've got to change the font size.
That's even worse. You just probably get like six words, you know, on your phone because it's so big, because it's like so small, you know, looking at it on your phone.
I'm not a big fan of it, but hey, anything to get the hangings out of my mind, I guess.
Right. Oh, that's brutal.
Oh, man.
I don't want that to happen to me.
So the one that I got is a 10-year-old book. It's a memoir because I'm writing a memoir right now, and I want to read some memoirs to kind of get a feel for that style. And it's the one that was turned into a movie with Reese Witherspoon called Wild. Did you ever see that movie or read the book?
It sounds familiar.
Cheryl Strayed, and it's about the woman who does the Pacific Coast, Pacific Crest Trail.
Mm-mm.
She hikes from like Southern California all the way up to, you know, Washington or whatever.
No.
I don't know. It's pretty fascinating stuff. It's probably going to end up being one of the selections in Dom's book club here before you know it. So
there you go.
Thank you for reminding me about that Bob Odenkirk book, too.
Yeah, I get it, man.
Because I think I'm going to check so good. That out. That's also a memoir, right? So
yes.
Is it technically? What's the difference between a memoir and an autobiography?
Yeah. Do you have to be almost dead for one of them?
Someone's going to text in, Dom, you're an idiot. Here's the difference. Okay, well, I'm an idiot. Just text in and tell me the difference.